Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I thank God for you this morning. Let us get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1:9-14, as we pray over ourselves. Father, we thank you this morning and we give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. We thank you for this day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We are thanking you, Father, for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for even this privilege to sit at your feet today. We thank you for all that you have prepared for us for this day and we are grateful to you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. We thank you that this blood heals, delivers, sets free, restores, redeems, and justifies. We are grateful to you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made for us on the cross and for the fact that you sit at the right hand interceding on our behalf, and we give you all glory and praise. We thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God. We welcome you into our lives, welcome you into our homes, and we thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for who you are, for you being our teacher, our friend, and our guide. We thank you that as we pray this morning, these Colossians prayers 1:9-14, you pray alongside us and you teach us how to pray. And so for this reason, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily and growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Father God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And Father, we thank you that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this morning I want us to continue talking about following God's plan for your life, but want to take it further in that you should not allow distractions to set into your life and kick you off of the path that God has prepared for you. Now, I want us to first look at the story in this account in Luke chapter 10, Martha and Mary's story, starting from verse 38 through 42, and I'll read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "Now, while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, to lend a hand and do her part along with me.' But the Lord replied to her by saying, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, this is so important because if we go back to this story and just put it, you know, make it a reality in our lives, we'll see that this is something that probably happens to us a lot. You've received the word from God. You know, maybe you've received the word of the year, or maybe a prophetic word for you personally that God has given you concerning your life or concerning his plan for your life, or something maybe concerning your marriage or your, you know, your relationship or finances. No matter what it is, the point is you've received a word from the Lord. And as this word has come in, the enemy's job is to come after the word. He's not coming necessarily after you per se, but he's coming after the word that you have received. So if he cannot get you, thrown off the word easily by just causing you to have anxieties and cares of the world, he will use distractions. Now, some of the distractions may not necessarily seem to be a bad thing when you're doing it, but you don't realize that it's a distraction. For instance, we look at Mary's situation. Jesus always taught in synagogues, or he taught in large groups, but here he's taking time to get and sit down with Mary and Martha into their house. They both, Mary and Martha, in fact, the Bible tells us in verse 38 that Martha received and welcomed him into her house. So this was an intimate setting. This wasn't a situation where Jesus was going to be preaching to thousands. Now, granted, probably there were people there because it wasn't just Martha and Mary. There were other people there, probably their friends or close family members. And so maybe a small group, but in an intimate setting. And so immediately Jesus walks in. You know, this is a rare occasion of having Jesus to walk into your house and take time to just share with you intimately. So which means that most likely Jesus was going to share with them things that he probably doesn't get to preach out there with everybody. He was sitting down with them and giving them instructions on life and things that they needed to do, I assume. And so here we have Mary, who immediately Jesus comes into the house. She recognizes, oh, the master is here. She goes and sits at his feet and is listening to his teaching. So I'm assuming Jesus is probably sitting in the chair and people are sitting around, on the floor to get the word. And, they're have their notebooks in their hands to write down the things that he's saying to them. And Mary is sitting right up close, up front by Jesus's feet. And so Martha, because this is her house and she had a ministry of hospitality, she becomes busy and overly occupied. And the Bible tells us that she was distracted with much serving. So she wasn't necessarily doing anything bad in nature. She was serving, which means she was, doing her ministry, which is hospitality. She was concerned about the food and the drinks and what is she going to make for the people and all these people that are here, and Jesus is here. And I have to make sure that, what I'm doing and how I'm serving Jesus is correct and all that stuff. And so she's in the kitchen at this point because she's not at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is speaking to the group, but she's so busy with trying to come up with the menu and everything else that, needs to happen. So again, like I said, the distraction wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It was part of her ministry of hospitality. However, she was doing it at the wrong time. And so here she is, she gets frustrated. And you can imagine, you have all these people in your house, even though it's an intimate setting, but still probably, let's assume she had 80 people in her house or 100 people in her house. And so now she's really distracted because all these people, we didn't prepare for them in advance. So what are we going to do? What do I need to make? And I have to do this and I have to make that and I have to make this. And while she's in the kitchen, she becomes frustrated, because she feels like she just has a lot to do by herself. And then she realizes, but Mary, her sister, lives with her, and Mary is sitting at Jesus's feet. How dare she sit there when she sees that there's all these people in this house that we have to feed? She sees Jesus is here, and she's letting me do this all alone. So what does she do? She gets up, walks into the room, and actually interrupts Jesus because Jesus was speaking to them. And so you can imagine Jesus is sitting. Mary walks in. It's not like she went and knelt down at Jesus's feet. She was highly frustrated. She was anxious. She was stressed out. And so she gets up and she goes. She goes up to Jesus and walks up to him and says, "Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Now trying to bring in other people. "Isn't it, important to you that she comes back here with me and serves? Yet here she is. She's sitting here listening to you. Is it nothing to you that I'm the one doing all this stuff, Lord?" Tell her. And Mary's sitting right there, but she's not talking to Mary directly. She's telling Jesus because now she's angry. Tell her, Lord, to help me, to lend a hand and to do her part along with me. But then the Lord says to her, he recognizes her anger and her frustration, anxiety, and he says, Martha, Martha. You see, it's not a thing where it's like, oh, Martha, Martha. No, he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. So Jesus here says, listen, it's not just about the food or the serving that you're troubled about. There's other things that are troubling you. And you're now bringing all those issues into this situation and now trying to put it on Mary. And then he says, there's need of only one thing or need of only one or but a few things. And Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, why is Jesus telling her it won't be taken away? If you recall, then in the book of Mark, when Jesus had been teaching his disciples about the parable of the sower, he taught about how the word comes, and you know, when the word comes. The word that is sown on stony ground. In fact, let's just go to Mark chapter 4 real quickly, verse 18. He says, and the ones sown among the thorns are the ones who hear the word. So the word is sown, but it's among the thorns. These are people who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. So remember, I had said last time that, you know, when Jesus was teaching about this parable of the sower sows the word, verse 16, the one sown upon the stony ground and the one sown upon the thorns, this is a description of how many in the body of Christ are right now, where the word comes in, but even if you receive the word, it is choked up, it suffocates and is choked up, it's not fruitful because of the cares and distractions and anxieties of the world. So it's interesting how the Bible says the cares, anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. So the distractions could even be maybe your job, or just maybe something else, or maybe your car has broken down, or maybe something else out there. Maybe, you know, you're getting distracted just by simple things, and you're not allowing the word of God. And these things are causing you anxiety, and they're causing the word of God to be choked and suffocated. And so it doesn't, you know, bear fruit in your life. And that's where we come up with now where Jesus was talking about some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Well, the word, if for the word to produce 100-fold in your life, it has to be allowed to take, you know, to fully manifest in your life in order for it to bear 100-fold fruit. So you might be 30-fold fruit through that word, or 60-fold fruit. Here we see that Martha was so, it's her serving, yes, but also there were other things. Jesus pointed out that you are anxious and troubled about many things. So this is not the only thing that is troubling her and bothering her. There's other things that are troubling and bothering her, and she's also now putting blame on her sister. Well, we do that a lot of times when we are dealing with our own personal situations. We try to blame the other person, and usually it's those who are closest to us. In spouses will, you know, accuse the other person, oh, my husband is the one who did this, or the husband will say, it's my wife who did this, but we don't necessarily take the blame. We don't recognize that we're anxious and troubled about many things, and those things are causing the word of God to be stolen from us. Well, clearly, the key thing here is to know that the enemy is after the word of God. So anytime you receive the word of God, when you find that you're getting distracted, you know, phone calls can distract you. You know, most times when I'm preparing myself, I have my schedule, I want to pray, I want to be in the word, I want to do a study, and you'll find that either text messages are coming or phone calls, you know, are coming. Well, that's the time that you make a decision. Do I leave my phone on, or do I turn it off? Or do I not respond to any calls at this particular time? Or do I not respond to text messages? It's a choice that you make. The enemy will cause people to call you. Listen, I've learned in life that, you know, if a house is not on fire, it's not an emergency. Now, everybody assumes they have emergencies, you know, that their situation is an emergency. It's more urgent than anybody else's situation. I, based upon my own life, I get people texting me even on weekends, you know, throughout the weekend. They don't care. Oh, maybe Apostle's taking time off. Let me let her rest. Or nothing like that. You know, so the thing is, when a person is dealing with a situation, it distracts them. So instead of them taking time to spend in the Word, get closer to God, they're like Martha, troubled about many things, whether it's serving or whether it's doing this, and it's troubling them. They're anxious. And so these cares and anxieties will hinder you from receiving God's best in your life. And my desire this morning is to help you to get off completely from that path that, of allowing distractions to come into your life, and to recognize distractions when they do come. When you start getting anxious, when you start getting, stressed out or frustrated, recognize whatever that situation is, it is a distraction. The enemy is using it. And also try to think, what happened earlier before I started getting distracted? Did I receive a word? Was I listening to the word? What was I planning on doing? You know, sometimes it could even be maybe you were in the Word studying and you were in prayer, and then you get a call from a loved one and they come in and they say something and that throws you off, or maybe you end up in a fight and that brings in strife. We'll talk about strife tomorrow, and that brings in strife. And then all of a sudden you're thrown off what you were doing. Now you can't get back into the Word. You can't pray anymore. You just feel stressed out all day, and now you have to talk about that situation to somebody, and oh, that person is stressing. That's a distraction. It came as a result to steal the word that you received from God. And the reason why the devil's doing that is because he knows that if you had spent that time that you had prepared to be in the Word and to do what the Word of God is telling you to do, to meditate in the Word of God, you would have received your breakthrough probably by the end of the day. But he doesn't want that to happen, so he will come and bring in distractions. So that's why I started off by saying that distractions come in many forms. And in many ways, it could be on the job. It could be people who are close to you. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. It could be your children. It could be your parents. I mean, it could be anybody, your siblings, you know. And it could be something as simple as you're talking on the phone and you start it off, and then something else gets thrown in and the other person gets upset or accuses you of something, and all of a sudden, your whole day is messed up because of that one situation. That's a distraction. It has come to steal the word from you. It has come to choke and suffocate the word that you've received, so that word is not fruitful. You know, many times people think the devil's after me. No, he's after the word. If you are in the word, if you're the type that listens to the word, if you're the type that is spending time in prayer and in the word, the devil is after that. I said yesterday that if you are not a threat to the devil, he won't come to, you know, fight you. It's only when you are a threat to the devil that he'll bring adversity in your life to throw you off the path that God has prepared for you. And so if he can throw you off the path that God has prepared for you, then he succeeded, and you actually fall into that trap, then he succeeds. Because what happens is that the blessings of God are on this path and you are on a different path completely, and you are being detoured and going a totally different direction than the direction that you were supposed to go. And that's what the devil desires. He doesn't want you to follow God's direction. He doesn't want you to follow God's plan. It's like a GPS. If you follow the GPS from point A to point B, it gives you the map. It tells you this is the starting point. All it needs is, where you are. You're leaving from this location. Yes. Where are you going? You give it the destination. It will map out a plan for you. It'll chart out a path for you, for you to take. And so it'll tell you the different routes that you can use. Go this way or go that way. This way will take you an hour. This way will take you longer or whatever. And you choose which path to take. Well, have you ever noticed that each time you veer off of that path, that GPS won't stop talking? Make a U-turn. Why? Because it's trying to get you
back on track. Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get us back on track. He's telling you, don't focus on the situation at hand. Don't focus on the things that are causing you anxiety, the distractions. Get back on track. And this is what Jesus was telling Martha. Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about many things. Don't focus on those things. There's only need for one thing, which Mary has chosen, the good portion. And the fact that she's sitting here, she's not allowing distractions. She's not allowing anxieties and troubles to bother her, to stress her, to frustrate her. It won't be taken away from her. But you're not even listening to the word because you're so distracted. You're so focused about much serving. That's not even as important as sitting down and getting the word. So what do you do when now you're thrown off track? Well, you get back on track. Just like with a GPS, it'll keep telling you, make a U-turn. And it won't stop saying that. It's very irritating. It won't stop saying that until you get back on track where you told it to take you. And so that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He's trying to get us back on track, get us back on track. Okay, so give up all that. You know, don't worry about the distractions. You know, give up. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Come on, just let go of that stuff. Get back on track. Get back on track. But many times, if you are like a Martha, you will not give up, you know, quickly. You want to spend all day wallowing in that stuff. Oh, this person stressed me. You just don't know. When somebody calls you, so how's your day going? Oh, my God. You just don't know what happened to me today. This thing happened, and this person did this on the road, or this person that I spoke to, this family member called me, and they did this. And so all day long, you're looking for opportunities to talk to someone. I just needed to get it off my chest. Well, the entire time that you're spending trying to get that off of your chest, the word of God is being stolen from you. Remember, the devil's MO is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so the word is being taken from you. And so even if, let's say, you calm down after 5 hours, the word has already been taken from you. It's been choked up. It's been suffocated. And so it's not going to be fruitful. You see, and so you have to recognize distractions for what they are. Now, we're talking about those type of distractions, but what about the other distractions where it's work-related? Well, today you're doing this and you're doing that. You're doing much serving. You see, you're working on this and you're doing that. Oh, I have to do this and then I have to do that and I have to do this and I have to do that. So, yeah, you've listened to the word maybe on your way to work, but then you're so busy at work or you're so involved in so many different things. Those are distractions. I'll give you a simple example. I've God has given me creative abilities. And so I've used my creative abilities to start businesses. So I'll do this here, I'll do this. These are things that I love and I enjoy doing as hobbies, but I've, you know, turned them into businesses. Well, for a while there, you know, things were going great. I was getting clients this way, clients that way, clients this way, you know, event planning, management, catering, you know, all that stuff. And so it was great. But then what happened is that it was actually now pulling me away from the thing that was needful, which is me being in the Word. You know, I was still doing the ministry. Ministry is always number one. But then, you know, on the times that I would be free, you know, people would call me for this, call me for that. Well, at the beginning of last year, the Lord said, you know, get that thing shut down now. You are distracted. And it really got to a point where I realized, yes, I was doing what I needed to do. I was serving in the ministry. I was doing that. I was getting prepared. But for myself, being intimate with God, my times were being taken away. And so the Lord, you know, told me to shut it down. So I shut everything down last year and just sat at the feet of Jesus. And I'm telling you, to this day, I don't even want to reopen that because I don't want those type of distractions. But so it wasn't necessarily bad in itself. You know, I was getting clients, I was making money doing that, but it was a huge distraction in that I needed to be at Jesus's feet, intimate. Getting my, you know, we may serve in ministry, but we have to also have the time to be intimate with the Lord. Now, I was putting in some time, but not as much time as the Lord would need me to put in, especially based on where He's taking me. And so You know, God is not a stagnant God. He won't keep you in the same place at the same, you know, for forever. And if you're going to move higher, you have to put in much time in being intimate with him and hearing what he has to say. So it's not, you know, oh, well, I've just read the Bible plan this morning and that's it. You know, you have to actually put in a lot more time in studying and in, you know, hearing from God and getting the revelations from God. And that requires really, you know, commitment. It's not something you can do within an hour. It's something that you'll have to put in much hours. I mean, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 hours, you know. And so if just doing one cake was taking me and decorating it, because I do professional decorating, would take me 10, 12 hours, well, all that time was being stolen away by going, even though it was a good thing for the people who were ordering, but that was taking time away from what God needed me to be doing. And so that allowed the enemy to come into my life and bring in havoc, you know. And so when I would see attacks here, attacks there, attacks here, well, it was because there was no buffer. There was no word to help me to resist what the enemy was trying to do and bring the damage he was trying to bring in my life. And so even though, yes, I was praying and I was, you know, spending time in the word, it wasn't enough time to get the devil, to get him to, you know, the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil and he will flee. So it wasn't enough to cause him to flee. You see, the word of God is our weapon. And when you have enough of the word in you, you will not be moved by what the enemy is doing. And he won't have the opportunity to bring the distractions and, you know, the troubles in your life. But if there's not much word in your life, I'm telling you, he's able to come in and to distract you. He's able to attack you easily. So that's why he first goes after the word. Now, what I like is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 26. So if we could go to Isaiah 26, and I'll read you this verse in verse 3 and verse 4. It says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. So when you keep your mind on God, how do you keep your mind on God? Well, that's by you spending time in the word. That's by you meditating on the word. So if you are facing some type of adversity, some challenge right now in your life, the best thing for you to do is to be in the word. The best thing is not for you to be on the phone calling everybody around the world and telling them about your problems. No, you need to get into the word. Whatever that situation is, if it's healing, look up all the healing scriptures. That's why you need to have a Bible concordance, so you can look up all the healing scriptures and start spending time focusing on that, you know, focusing, meditating on those scriptures. If it's financial, get yourself in the word, you know, study the scriptures of God's blessing and goodness in our lives, you know, where God promises that he'll meet our needs. Listen to teachings that talk about God blessing us and God, you know, supplying all our need. Keep your mind focused on God. So whether it's through teaching, whether it's through the word of God, meditating on the word, speaking the word out of your mouth constantly throughout the day, don't allow distractions. You see, when you're doing that, that word will become fruitful. As you keep your mind stayed on God, God promises that he will keep you in perfect and constant peace. What does peace mean there? Shalom. It means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. And so the enemy is after that. He knows that if he can keep you distracted, he can keep you, you know, focused on your problems, then you are not going to enter that shalom of God. You're not going to have that peace in your life where nothing is missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. He knows that. And so he knows that if he can keep you distracted, then you are not going to be able to lean on God. You're not going to be able to hope on God because you're focused on the problem and not focused on God. And lastly, I want to give you this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death and he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony still on record that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. God will reward you when you're earnestly and diligently seeking him out. And when you keep your mind stayed on him and you don't allow distractions. So like I said, the distractions can come in many forms, whether it's good things that you're doing, serving or working or whatever. But if it's a distraction, you got to get rid of it. If it's the other ones, the negative ones, make sure that as soon as that happens, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to release that person who brought the distraction into your life. Pray about it, ask, you know, forgive and move forward, get back into the word so that you're not caught up in all this stuff that the devil wants to do, so that the word is not stolen from you, so that the word becomes fruitful in your life and you will bear fruit in every area. I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching this morning. By God's grace, we'll speak again tomorrow morning. You all have a blessed and prosperous day. Bye-bye.